In 1979, when I was living in Halifax, I experienced one of the most dynamic and relevant educations that I've had in my life. A group of us set up what was called a macro analysis seminar based on a model provided by the Movement for a New Society in the US. And using the work of Paulo Freire in Pedagogy of the Oppressed as a model for how we educated ourselves. My father and his wife, Mary Isabel, were part of that group. Several friends in Halifax Meeting were part of that group. Peggy and David Hope Simpson's teenage son and some of his friends were part of that group. There were 12 of us. We met every week for 6 months, presenting and discussing material that helped us understand global and local issues. Sarah, you might not remember this. You were 4 months old when we did this. You were lying in your crib, and every time I spoke in the meeting, you would lift your head up and make a great big smile like, "That's my mom talking." We found many examples of economic immorality. The Canadian material that we looked at was supplied by Gatfly, which was the precursor to the Ecumenical Coalition for Economic Justice, which later became part of Kairos, the Interchurch Social Justice Coalition. We were understanding how our North American lifestyle was complicit in third world poverty. In 1980, I had my fourth baby. The second, third, and fourth were born within 4 years. I resigned my job with the government, and I moved with my children out to my friend Sylvia Mangalam's farm in Lower Burlington, which is about 20 kilometers that way. We were 15 kilometers from the nearest village. We were way out in the sticks. When I resigned that job, I knew intuitively that I would never have another salary. There's some things I always just know about my life. That was one of them. I also knew intuitively that if I kept my job, I would die of exhaustion. It was too hard to work full-time and have three babies. Sylvia was my next mentor. She taught me how to grow vegetables, milk a cow, can tomatoes and fruits, make cheese, blanch and freeze vegetables. It was a period for me of intense learning about self-sufficiency. Something that stood me in very good stead for the rest of my life on a very low income. While I was learning all those things, the Ecology Action Center in Halifax contacted us to tell us that a French company was exploring for and planning to mine uranium in the headwaters of the Avon River. Where we lived was on the Avon River. The headwaters of the Avon River are 20 kilometers that way. We didn't know anything about uranium mining. We started researching it in every way that we could, and then began educating our neighbors and our Women's Institute. Ultimately, that expanded to forming citizens groups to educate all Nova Scotians about uranium mining. And in this process, I had another firsthand experience of big business operating immorally. Nova Scotians knew little about uranium. We've never hosted any part of the nuclear industry. The company hired a PR person to lie about the safety of uranium exploration, mining, and milling. It was a necessary step for them to protect their investment and to obtain permission to profit from Nova Scotia uranium. Within a couple of years of this period of intense education and action, the company launched a defamation suit against our most articulate spokesperson. One of those bogus, unwinnable lawsuits designed to distract the time, energy, and finances of the volunteer opposition. An immoral economy does not thank you for doing the right thing. I've always felt a spiritual leading to raise public awareness about the immoral economy and about the necessity of protecting and encouraging socially integrated economies. I would love to have been hired for such a job, but I never saw one advertised. I might have found something if I'd been living in Toronto, but I was in rural Nova Scotia with consistently shaky finances and four children. So I had to start looking for new ways to make a living. I was persuaded to sell life insurance. After being trained and certified to do this, I discovered that the products that would actually earn an income for me were the ones that nobody really needed. The ones that people really needed didn't pay much of a commission. And I decided I couldn't sell my soul to that industry. So I never became a life insurance salesperson. I tried social research consulting, but I couldn't find enough work. And I also found that in social research, it was so often the case that the questions they wanted you to research were not sufficiently funded to be able to answer those questions honestly. And I lost my appetite for doing that. So I was floundering for a while, trying to figure out how to make a living. And one morning at five o'clock in the morning, in 1987, God woke me up and said, "Go to music school at Acadia University." I let my bosom friend of 45 years go over this lecture for me before coming here. And she said, "I'd get rid of the God stuff if I were you, but you probably won't." And I wrote her back and said, "No, I won't." But I think I need to say something about it because it's come up a few times this year at yearly meeting about what God is and what people's experiences are of God and who do we think God is. And I've actually been really surprised to hear several people say that when they were a child, they thought God was some big bearded guy that sat up in the sky and directed everything. And I've never thought of God that way. I don't even really care about using the word God or not. I'm fine with using any kind of descriptive term to describe the spirit that lives within us, the spirit that operates between us, the spirit that we feel in the natural systems around us. All of that is God to me. And sometimes I know that God is trying to tell me something. And God kept bugging me about going to music school, and I kept saying, this is the dumbest idea I ever heard. I got four little kids. No, three of them were little. One was big. I got no money to go to music school. Why would I do that? It would take me 4 years. I've already been in university for 7.5 years. And God still kept bugging me. So I thought, all right, okay, I'll just go check it out, see what's involved. And when I went, they said, well, if you're going to come, you've got to do an audition in 2 weeks. I thought, okay. I went home and practiced the piano for 2 weeks, steady. I hadn't really practiced it much in quite a few years. I went for the audition, I passed it, and I thought, oh, well, okay, I'll put in the application. But meanwhile, I'll probably get a job, and I won't go. In that 4 years I spent at Acadia University, the only jobs that showed up happened in the summertime. Although I thought I was going to quit when a real one came along, but nothing did. So I went to music school and kept on raising kids, growing and preserving food, practicing the piano, would you believe it, 3 hours a day and taking 7 courses, studying, working part-time, and earning scholarships. I had no time to think about moral economy or world problems. The only economy I had time for was that of my family, and I devoted a lot of time to keeping everybody fed and housed. In 1991, I got a degree in music education, just at exactly the same time that the local school boards decided to hire only the cheapest teachers that they could get. And I wasn't one of those because I already had a master's degree and my teaching license required that they would have had to pay me more. I couldn't find a job. So self-employment was my only option. It was low income, but I knew how to get by, and that I've been self-employed as a music teacher for 20 years, and it's been steady and reasonably comfortable. But once I was out of music school, I had time to volunteer with the Canadian Friends Service Committee, which I did from 1991 to 1997. And I used that as an opportunity to reconnect with the broader economic issues that concerned me. I did a lot of work in developing public education materials on economics, which I used with Quakers at yearly meetings. I worked with the Ecumenical Coalition for Economic Justice out of Toronto. I helped them run the Moral Economy Workshop in Halifax in 1997. And then I ran another one in Wolfville for the Wolfville Area Interchurch Council in that same year.